Okay, I think we'll get started. Everybody can hear me okay? Okay. So, welcome to Dynamite Data Visualization with PowerView in Microsoft Excel. Thank you all very much for coming. Hope you're enjoying the conference so far. My name is Ricardo Muti. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the SQL Server BI team at Microsoft in Redmond. Specifically, I work on what you could call the PowerView team. I've worked on that team for a little bit over 3 years, and I've worked on a number of the features in PowerView. Both when we built PowerView initially in SQL Server 2012, and then when we integrated it into Excel 2013. So I'm kind of your guy here at TechEd Europe for any PowerView questions. I've also worked on reporting services quite a bit, so if you have any reporting services questions, I can probably also help you with those. I will be at the Data Insights booth later today, after about 2:30. And then I will be at the Ask the Experts event later tonight. So any PowerView questions or reporting services questions, come find me, and I hope I can help you or point you to somebody who can. This is kind of the official PowerView deep dive session. So if you're interested in PowerView at all, how it works, what's new in Office 2013, or just getting a demonstration of some of the features and a deep dive into the features, this is definitely the session for you, and I hope you get a lot out of it. What I thought we would do today is we would start with an intro into what is PowerView. Some of you may already be familiar with this, but it's important that you have a good understanding of where we're coming from and why we built PowerView, where it fits into the Microsoft BI story, and how it's maybe different from some other tools like Report Builder, other parts of the reporting services stack. Want to highlight what's new in the Office 2013 release and in the SP1 release, and then talk about PowerView integrated into Excel. And that's not just we integrate PowerView into the Excel shell, but there's a lot of implications of that. What does it mean for PowerView to be integrated into Excel? What are you building now? And what are some of the feature differences between PowerView standalone and PowerView in Excel? And then what happens when you publish these things to SharePoint? How does it work in Excel web app? I want to cover all of that. So there will be a lot of demos in the session. It will be a demo-heavy session, more in the latter half. But I do have some slides in the beginning to kind of set up and explain a lot of these things before we dive into the demo. But I promise you, lots of demos later. And then when we switch over to the demo, I will show you creating some nice PowerView sheets in Excel, a number of them, touching on a number of different interesting visualizations. And then in the course of doing so, you'll get a deep dive into all the different features of PowerView and how things work and some of the nuances of how PowerView works. So if that all sounds good, we'll get started. The best place to start is probably to explain and define what PowerView is. So this is kind of the official definition from the product team. It's an interactive experience for you to connect to a data source, for you to explore the data in an easy drag-and-drop kind of way on the canvas, to visualize the data using different modern visualizations, different charts, maps, tables, that sort of thing, to interact with it. These are not just static visualizations, but you click on something, and generally, something happens. Other things get cross-filtered, they get cross-highlighted, or they help you extract the insight from the data. And then finally, to be able to share and present these nice, beautiful, modern reports that you create with your team, either by presenting it on the screen, to go into full-screen mode, to export these things to PowerPoint, or to upload it to SharePoint, send them a link, they can open it up in Excel services, different ways of sharing the content and presenting it to others. To go into that in a little bit more detail, PowerView is not something that stands in and of itself. It's part of a bigger story. Specifically, it's part of our managed self-service BI story that we've been trying to execute on for the last few years, starting with PowerPivot and then continuing on with PowerView and now PowerView built into Excel. The idea there is that traditionally, BI has been done by BI professionals or IT professionals or developers within an organization, within the IT department. And all of the requests, all of the demand for reports and for answers to business questions has gone to IT. The business has depended on IT to create these reports, to create these cubes, and so on. And the problem with that is that that does not scale. Over the years, there is more and more demand on IT from the business to get data, to get answers to their questions, and IT simply cannot keep up with that pace. So the only solution to that really is to put some BI in the hands of everyday office workers, information workers, users who can use basic spreadsheet functionality, maybe basic pivot table functionality, for them to be able to do their day-to-day, get the answers to their questions, do the kind of 80 to 90% of BI, so that they are not dependent on IT for that part of their work. So where does that leave IT? Well, somebody's still got to manage all this stuff. Somebody's still got to oversee it, to decide who should see what data, to control that, to make sure that they have enough resources to serve all of the requests. And then also, there's that 10 or 20% that you'll never really be able to get rid of that is too complex for the average information worker to do. It's a more complex model. It's an enterprise model. It's a really complex or unique reporting scenario. Not saying that self-service BI is going to be all BI, but we want it to, like I said, get to the point where people can do 80 to 90% of what they need to do by themselves, and there will always be that 10 to 20% of now more interesting, complex enterprise projects that is a better use of highly skilled BI professionals' time. So, and this is a big departure from what our team has done in the past, because our team is also the team that built reporting services. And if you're familiar with reporting services and its history, the first release of reporting services, the only way you could build a report was in Visual Studio. It's with Report Designer in Visual Studio. So that tells you something about our audience. It was developers, BI developers. And here we are now building things in Excel. So we've kind of now tried to reach out also to the information worker audience. The other thing that's notable about PowerView is its highly visual design experience. By that I mean you can whenever you're creating something in PowerView, you're working with the real data and the real visualizations that the end user of your report is going to see on the canvas. It might sound like the obvious way to build a report, but it's different from how you build a report in some traditional reporting tools like Report Builder. And I'll explain that a little bit more later. It's metadata driven. Again, another difference from traditional reporting tools and from Report Builder and reporting services, where you can connect to a wide variety of different data extensions. You can connect directly to raw data in SQL Relational, in Oracle, in XML, in SharePoint lists, and whatever. All these different types of data sources, you connect directly to them. Sure, you could connect to a nice analysis services cube as one of those options, but that's by no means the only option. You were not forced to. With PowerView, it's different. We decided to make a big bet on a semantic model, specifically the analysis services BI semantic model. And you must connect directly to that. That's what PowerView connects to, and that's what it queries. And that may seem more limiting, but the thing is, that analysis services model can in turn connect to all the same data sources. It can connect to Oracle, SQL Relational, DB2, whatever, OData. And the benefit of us always going through that intermediate layer of the semantic model is that that can drive a lot of the behaviors and a lot of the nice defaults in PowerView. We have richer metadata that tells us this isn't just a string column, this is a string column that's the name of a city. So we know how to plot it in a map, for example. Various examples like that. It's presentation ready at all times. By that I mean, sure, in Report Builder you can go and tweak your report and get your pixel perfect layout and everything. But what we wanted in PowerView was that with a couple of clicks you get something on the canvas, and just by default it looks really nice. It's something that you could present in front of users. It looks professional, it looks modern. Want to make sure that that was a characteristic of PowerView. And then finally, a question that we get a lot is, what does PowerView connect to? What does it query? I kind of answered that already by saying that it connects to analysis services, but there's actually two variations of that, two flavors. One is PowerView could connect to the data model that's built inside of Excel now. It's built into Excel 2013. So inside of Excel 2013, in a workbook, you have a nice structured tabular relational database that you can create inside there. You may not know you're creating it, could be created behind the scenes, or you could be using the Power Pivot add-in that ships inside of Excel to create it. But you can create these models inside of Excel workbooks. And the PowerView sheets in a workbook could connect to that model inside of the same workbook. It could connect to a data model in a different workbook in SharePoint. Or a PowerView sheet could connect to an external analysis services database, something that's more enterprise-grade, more higher scale. It's not a workbook at all. It's a proper database. Why might you want to do this? At some point, you hit the limits of, you know, file size of a workbook. If it's over 2 gigs, you'll have problems uploading it to SharePoint, and you probably want to go to a database at that point. If you want partitioning for partial incremental processing, if you want row-level security, these are things that aren't supported, don't translate well to a workbook. That's when it's time to go to a database. So PowerView can connect to these two things. They seem like very different things. They're actually the exact same thing. The data model inside of Excel is an analysis services tabular model that just happens to be inside of a workbook. And the engine that's running it is an engine that the analysis services team wrote, the X-Velocity in-memory column store engine. It's just built inside of Excel now. I mentioned you can kind of get a flavor for what Power View is like by contrasting the experience of building a Power View report with traditional reporting. So in traditional reporting, like for example with Report Builder, if I were building a report, what I would see in design mode is something like this. Now, traditional reporting is kind of an exercise of data-driven document generation. You build two things when you build a report. You build queries using like the SQL Query Builder or queries that somebody else has written that get you tabular data sets. And then you build a layout template, which is what you're seeing here. You're building a layout template that binds to that data. And when you run the report and you execute the report and you bind that layout template to the data that you get back from the queries, you spit out pages of a document. So that's what it is. It's data-driven document generation. So because here you're seeing the template, to actually see what your end users are going to see, you have to run it in preview mode. And then you'll see what your end users are actually going to see when they run the report. And you're probably not going to get it perfect on the first try. You're probably going to say, well, I need to change some things, tweak some things, there's some more things I need to add. So you tend to do a lot of switching back and forth between these two views. That's the experience of building a traditional report. To look at the workflow, the whole workflow in more detail, you are in design mode in Report Builder or Report Designer or something like that. You're building those queries, you're building those templates. Every now and then you go and preview it. And like I said, you don't get it right the first try, so you do a few iterations. Finally, you get something you like, you publish it up to a server, and this is where the document generation workflow or consumption workflow comes in. There are some inputs and there are some outputs. The inputs into this process are twofold. One are the report parameters. A lot of reports are parameterized, so you can run the report for a specific date range or for a specific region. So the user, there are some defaults maybe, but the user can override them with their parameter values. The other input is the actual data, the data sets in your report that you've explicitly created as a report author. You've written the queries and you've created these data sets. We go and run those queries that you wrote, and we pull in the data, we take a snapshot of the data, and all processing from this point on runs against that snapshot of data. So then we put it through the processing and rendering engine. We process all the expressions in your report, all the custom code. We have a pagination module that will split your report into physical pages. And then we'll render those pages to a physical output format like Word or HTML or PDF or something like that. That's in a sort of an interactive rendering mode. You can also, of course, wrap this in scheduling. So you have scheduled subscriptions that fire on a certain schedule. And then email delivery, which will deliver the reports to people in their email inbox, or it could be file share or something like that. That's basically how traditional reporting services and traditional reporting works. The workflow with Power View is quite different. You start with the raw data, and your objective is you have some answers, some business questions and some answers that you're looking for, and you suspect that they are lying somewhere buried in that data. So the first step is to take that raw data and import it into a data model, into a nice semantic model. Now, this can be done in many different ways. It could be done kind of transparently without you even knowing. If you, the user, import this data into an Excel sheet and then you create a Power View report on top of it, Excel has just imported that data into the data model without you even knowing. So some basic scenarios, you don't even really have to do any conscious, explicit modeling. Another thing that I could do if I'm more of a Power user is I could use the Power Pivot add-in that's built inside of Excel and tweak my model or create more sophisticated models inside of Excel. And the other thing that could happen is I, as the end user or the information worker, may already have the model created for me. It may be an enterprise model that IT has created, maybe a database that I'm just starting from there and connecting to that. So in a variety of ways, I end up with this data in a data model. The next step is I start creating Power View sheets against that. I explore the data in that data model on the canvas, I interact with it, and then I find some interesting answers to my questions or some interesting insights into data. And at that point, when I have something interesting, I might want to share it with others by uploading it to SharePoint, or I might want to present it in a presentation like this, so I throw it on a big screen. And that's kind of the workflow of Power View and Self-Service BI. You start with your raw data, you find it, you import it, maybe do some modeling, you explore, and then finally you share and present it with others. We first shipped Power View in SQL Server 2012, RTM. When we ship Service Pack 1, usually service packs are just that, they're just servicing releases. But in this particular service pack, it was special because it coincided with the release of Office 2013. So in this release, we integrated into Excel. We had the opportunity to integrate into a new version of Excel. And we also took the opportunity while we're at it to add a whole bunch of new features that we really wanted to get in many cases in the initial release. But we put them in SP1. So SP1 is a big upgrade, is the point here. And there are some themes for what we added. One was closing the gap with features in the model. Features in the model that, because of the timeline, we built Power Pivot, which was your modeling experience, in SQL Server 2008 R2. We built the first version of Power View 2 years later in SQL Server 2012. So we had to catch up and support all the features that were already implemented in the model. And we weren't able to support all of them. Hierarchies, for example, you couldn't use them in Power View. KPIs, you could have them in your model. You could use them in a pivot table, but you couldn't use them in Power View. So we wanted to make sure we close all those gaps. Hyperlinks are another one. Perspectives are another one. So all the ones you see listed here, I'm happy to report that we were able to add support for all of those and close all those gaps in SP1. Another one was giving you more control over style and formatting. In Power View, in SQL 2012 RTM, you had 8 themes, which are very, very primitive, very limited. They only affected really the chart palettes. You couldn't do something as simple as change the background color of your sheet. You couldn't add background images. You couldn't add a corporate logo. And all of those we've added support for. So you now have something like 40 themes. They're similar to the Office themes, specifically the PowerPoint themes. They affect background colors. They affect fonts. They affect chart palettes. You can set your own background colors. You can put an image as the background of your sheet. You could put your corporate logo on the slide and those sorts of things. And then a big one in any release that we do for Power View, we want to, of course, add to the core of the product, which is new visualizations or new types of interactivity. So we added Bing Maps as a new visualization, which is a really powerful visualization. We caved and added pie charts. Pie charts are a very controversial visual in the data visualization community. They are probably one of the most misused visualization, but there is a use for them. There are valid cases where it's a good visualization to choose, and we want to be pragmatic and support those scenarios. So we did add support for pie charts in Power View. And then finally, drill down, just hierarchical drill down. If you have multiple fields on an axis of a chart, for example, you can drill in from country to state to city and so on. So that's a really powerful feature. And then finally, the fourth pillar here is we integrated the whole thing into Excel. And that last piece really helps us tell our Microsoft BI story a lot better, because this is a story we've been trying to say for a few years now, which is this is what Microsoft BI is. It is integration of BI features and capabilities right into these products, which everybody's using on a daily basis and are the leading products in their categories in the industry. Excel and Office is the leading Office productivity suite by far. SharePoint is the leading intranet and portal software, and SQL Server is the leading relational database management and data platform software. So integrating BI into all these products that a lot of people already have and are already using is a winning strategy. But we didn't have Power View built into Excel, so that was kind of a wrinkle in our strategy. So now that we have Power View in Excel with the new release of Excel, I'm happy to report that more and more with each release that we do, how to think of Microsoft BI, particularly self-service BI. Excel is your self-service BI client from Microsoft. There are some differences between Power View and Excel and Power View standalone. I'm not going to go through them in all detail. You'll get all the slides later. But some of the key ones to point out, the big difference between Power View and Excel and Power View standalone, and when I say standalone, I mean the standalone web app that we shipped in SharePoint in SQL 2012, is that in Excel, you don't just have the visualizations. Excel contains data. It contains a model, and it contains a cache of data in that model. So the Power View sheets can connect to that data model inside of that same workbook. So you have a file now that contains model, data, and the data visualizations. Whereas with Power View standalone, it does not contain any data. It does not contain a model. All it contains is definitions of the different charts and tables in your report, and it always connects to an external model. On the flip side, one of the things that is available in Power View standalone that is not available, at least not yet, in Power View and Excel, is export to PowerPoint. It's a favorite feature of mine, a feature that I worked on. I hope that we can get some scenario with PowerPoint integration for PowerView in Excel as well in the near future. But currently, you can only export your sheets to PowerPoint from PowerView standalone. So those are two of the bigger differences to be aware of. Another one to call out between PowerView in Excel on a desktop and PowerView in Excel in the browser, in Excel services or in Excel web app, is that design of reports and creation of reports is only on the desktop in Excel. When you upload your workbook to SharePoint and you open it up in Excel services, it is read-only. You can interact with it, you can change filter values, you can resort, but you could not, for example, add a brand new chart or change the type of a chart or create a new sheet. That may change in the future, but that's the way it is today. Just a brief explanation of the architecture and how this works. When you have PowerView in Excel desktop, you have Excel. PowerView is available in Office Pro Plus and higher, or with certain Office 365 subscriptions. And if you have one of those editions of Excel, you will have the PowerView add-in. It's technically implemented as an add-in, a COM add-in, but it ships inside the Excel box. And the first time you click that PowerView button in the ribbon, it will activate the add-in. So you have your PowerView application inside of Excel. That communicates with reporting services. The back end for PowerView is a report server. But in the case of PowerView in Excel desktop, that report server is actually a local mode report server that's also integrated right into Excel and is part of that add-in. And then, if you're querying the embedded data model inside of that same workbook, you're talking to analysis services. But again, it's that local analysis services engine that's built right into Excel 2013. Now, if you're talking to an external model, an external analysis services database, then you would be talking to some other database server that's hosting a proper dedicated instance of analysis services. PowerView and SharePoint, when you're looking at these workbooks inside of Excel services, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more complicated architecture. Here are basically the tiers that you can have, the physical tiers in a SharePoint farm. You've got your web server, your app server, and then you may have a separate database server tier. And what happens is you open up the workbook in SharePoint, and it opens up an Excel web access. And that goes and communicates with Excel components on the front-end web servers called Excel Web Services, which delegate a lot of the real number-crunching calculation work to Excel Calculation Services, which is a service application that runs on the app server tier in SharePoint. And then, if you connect to the embedded data model, you're connecting to a special instance of analysis services in Power Pivot mode. So for this to work on the server, unlike with Excel desktop, you need to license not only SharePoint, you need to license SQL Server. You'll need SQL Server BI Edition or Enterprise Edition. And you will install an instance of analysis services in this special Power Pivot mode, register it with Excel services, and what happens is it takes the data model inside of these workbooks and streams it to that dedicated instance of analysis services to service the queries. If you're connecting to another database, not the embedded data model, then you'll simply be connecting to an analysis services tabular database. What happens when you open a PowerView sheet? When you switch to a PowerView sheet, it loads the PowerView application on the page in the browser, but that still communicates with reporting services. So you need the reporting services add-in on your front end, and then you need the report server service application on your app server tier. And again, this is a SQL Server component, not a SharePoint component. So you need SQL Server 2012 SP1 BI Edition or Enterprise Edition. And you install our reporting services in SharePoint mode. And then what happens is when you're looking at a sheet that connects to the embedded data model, we go and negotiate with Excel Calculation Services and we say, where did you stream that model? It tells us, and then we go and connect to that data model. And similarly, if it were an external analysis services database, we would simply go and connect directly to that. I have another session, by the way, tomorrow on the architecture of reporting services in SharePoint mode and how you deploy all this. So if you're interested in that, I would encourage you to come to that session. But with that, I will switch over to a demo. So to start with, let's look at just the most basic of all scenarios and how simple is it to create a PowerView report inside of Excel. So here I have Excel 2013. It's Professional Plus Edition. And what I've done here is I've just pasted a table off the web. I literally went to Wikipedia and I looked for the FIFA ranking of football teams around the world. and just took that data, tabular data, pasted it on an Excel sheet. And what I can do now is I can say insert, whoops. Must have clipped on a hyperlink or something. I go to insert, and I say power view. It's a new option in the ribbon. You can see it there. And again, if you don't have the add-in already activated, you'll still see that button, but it will prompt you to activate the add-in. I already have it added. So now what we're going to do is we're going to create a new PowerView sheet. And just to take stock of what we have here, it doesn't open up a new window or a new app or anything like that. It's just a new type of sheet inside of Excel. If you think of Excel, you know, you've got regular spreadsheet type sheets, you've got chart sheets, and now you've got PowerView sheets. So you've got this canvas, you've got your filters area over here, and then you've got your field list over here, which shows your semantic model. In this case, it's just a model that was automatically just created for me from that table. And then you've got your field wells over here where you can drop fields into different regions in your different visualizations. So I don't need this rank field here. So here I've just got the different teams, the different countries, and the number of points they have in the ranking. And everything in PowerView starts as a table by default, just by convention. But then a core tenet of PowerView is that you can easily convert a table or any visual into any other type of visual. So here I can convert this maybe into a bar chart, for example. With one click, I've got a bar chart. And then I can do some basic interactivity with this. So for example, I could sort this instead of alphabetically, maybe by the number of points, and sort it descending, and see that Spain is the best football team in the world right now. So that's a really basic PowerView sheet inside of Excel. Now, let's look at something a little bit more sophisticated. What I've done here is I've explicitly created a model using the Power Pivot add-in. So I've pulled from some external data sources. If I open up my Power Pivot add-in here, you can see you can pull from a variety of different data sources. You can pull from SQL Server. You can pull from an analysis services cube. You could pull from non-relational sources. So you can pull from the web, from OData feeds. In my case, I pulled from the Windows Azure Marketplace. We've got integration with that, and it's a place where you can go and find apps, and you can go and find a whole bunch of data sets, many of them available for free. And one of them I found was from one of our partners. They're a medical research company, and they had some interesting data that they had collected on patients and visits to hospitals and doctors and all the vitals that they had collected along with that. And they published a sample of that data. It's really interesting data. For anybody who's seen me use that data set before, as I used it last year at TechEd Europe, I'm going to be using it again. It's a different demo because back then I was not able to talk about Office 2013 or any of the SP1 features. So we'll see a lot new if you've seen that data set demo before. So I pulled in from there. I also pulled in data from a variety of other data sources. I just needed lookup tables like different regions of the United States, different states, different classifications of diseases. I looked up a lot of that stuff on Wikipedia. Just copied it into Excel, and then I can mash up the tables and create relationships inside of Excel. So here you can see I've got these different tables. I've got my table with all my vitals that's been collected on all the patients. If you switch to the diagram view up here, it's another view of your model. See this come up in a sec. Here you can really get a sense that, you know, this isn't just a spreadsheet anymore. You're creating a tabular relational database inside of your workbook. So that's why, for example, when some of our competitors will, you know, one of the ways they'll attack Microsoft's BI strategy is they'll say, well, Microsoft's BI strategy is basically Excel, so it's spreadsheets and it's spreadmarts. Well, Excel has evolved, and it's a very antiquated view of Excel. Excel is a powerful, structured BI tool. So going back here, I'm going to go back to my main workbook view, and we can start creating some PowerView sheets. So again, I'll just say insert PowerView. And if that's all I do, if I say insert PowerView, it's by default going to create a PowerView sheet that connects to the embedded data model in the same workbook. So here I can see that model that I've created. And if you can see, if you hover over some of these things, you'll get an explanation of what they are, descriptions, some of the metadata that we have in the model. So I wouldn't have known what chart meant, for example. But if I hover over it, it says, well, this contains data about patient charts or medical charts with all the vitals that they collected. So to explore the data, I can just actually, in some cases, if it's been set up in the model, just click on the table, and with one click, I'll get the table showing up on the canvas with a default set of fields. If I expand chart here, zoom in on that, you'll see that it selected a subset of the fields. Now, why did it select some of the columns and not others? That's an example of model metadata. So in the model, you can say, as the modeler, this is a sort of interesting subset of the fields that you should show by default. I'm free to tweak it and remove some of them and add some of them, but that's what it does by default. So you'll notice some of the different logos here, or some of the different icons beside some of the fields. So beside chart ID, you'll see this kind of card icon. What that means is that is a details group field. It's either a key for the table, a primary key, or it's a field that is set to group on the key. So to show you the difference here, let's say I select something that does not have that icon. So for example, physician specialty. I'll just check physician specialty here. Now, this is a table with hundreds and thousands of rows. Obviously, I do not have hundreds and thousands of rows here. I have tens of rows. So what this is showing is not every row in the table. It's showing the distinct values of this field in the table. It's grouping on the value of this column. It's not grouping on the key. Whereas, for example, if I were to choose chart ID, I am going to get hundreds and thousands of rows. Now, you'll notice it was still pretty fast because we never actually go and just get a segment of 100,000 rows. We will get something like 100 rows. And then when you scroll down, we will automatically go and query the next segment. So one thing to understand about Power View, for any access or any sort of well where you can drop something, a field within a visualization, one of two things is always going to happen. Either we will be able to segment the data and get it in segments of 100 or batches of 100, for example, or we will limit it. We will say you can only get up to 100 or you will only get up to 60, and we will limit it and warn you, display a warning if we exceed that limit. We will never just go and get 1 million rows and you know, you're sitting there waiting for a minute. So another icon that you'll see here is you'll see this sigma icon here. If we zoom in on that. The thing is, when you have a numeric column, when I put it in a visual on a particular axis or in a particular part of that visual, one of two things has to happen. It either has to group on those values and show the distinct values of that column, or within some other group, it has to aggregate those values. It has to sum them or average them or take the minimum or something. Sometimes when you put it on a particular axis of a chart or a matrix, for example, we know this is an axis where you group or this is an axis where you aggregate. But sometimes the visual can do one or the other and it's ambiguous. So this is a default in those cases that tells us what we should do by default. Should we group on the values or should we aggregate them together? So if you see the sigma icon, it means we will aggregate them together somehow. And this is controllable with model metadata. So again, to see the difference, if I go to my region table here and grab a region name, let's go and grab blood pressure here. Blood pressure has a sigma icon, so it will aggregate. There are many, many distinct values of the blood pressure field. You're not seeing all of them here. You're seeing the average of them. Now, why did it choose the average? It chose it because that's what the modeler specified as a default summarization function, which is good because summing and adding blood pressures together doesn't make any sense. So this is one of the things that you'll want to tweak in your model. It makes sense to average this field. Compare that with, well, I can grab region name and grab another field that's just as numeric, which is age. It's an integer. But it is not going to summarize those together. It's going to group on the individual values because this does not have a sigma icon and was not configured that way in the model. Now, all of these things are overridable for these columns in the model, or in Power View. So I can go down here and I can say, actually, instead of do not summarize, which is a default for this field, I'd like you to average them together. So here I'll check average. And now you'll see the average age for each region. Now, it looks like the modeler in this case did not nicely format these numbers. So I could go back to the model and do that, or I could just override in here in Power View. I can say make this a number and maybe reduce the decimal places to one decimal place. So you can do that sort of formatting in Power View as well. So now let's look at something, let's look at a matrix maybe. By the way, another type of column that you don't see here, or another type of field that you don't see here, but you will sometimes, is a calculator icon. And that means that it's actually not a column in any table at all. It's not a column of data. It's just a calculated field or a measure that's been defined in the model, which is basically an Excel formula. You can't group on it. You can only calculate the value of it within some grouping scope. And then a variation of that is this traffic light icon that you'll see here, which is a KPI, a key performance indicator. And you can create these in the model as well, and we'll look at those a little bit later. So down here, we've got this location field, and it's actually expandable. So the thing is, that's a hierarchy. It's something that we didn't support in the initial version of PowerView, but now we support. So, and a hierarchy is very simple. I can just click on the parent node of the hierarchy, and it's just a shortcut for adding all the levels of the hierarchy. Once I've done that, it's just like adding the two fields independently. I can manipulate the two fields independently, and it doesn't matter that they came from a hierarchy. So just know that hierarchy is just a shortcut for adding all the levels with one click. In this case, I actually don't want this division name. I want to look at region name, and I want to look at state name. I'll drag in state name. You'll also notice, by the way, that state has this little globe icon beside it. It's because the model recognized it as the name of US states. So when we do mapping, we'll be able to get better geocoding results from Bing because we'll say, you know, Georgia is a US state. It's not a country in Europe, for example. Now, everything, like I said, starts like as a table by default, but I can convert it very easily to a matrix. And the difference is you'll see now the hierarchical structure here, and you can have subtotals. If we bring in a measure here, we'll start to see subtotals. So maybe what I want to do is I just want to count the number of hospital admissions or count the number of medical charts for these different regions and these different states. Now, the modeler did not create a number of charts measure or calculated field in the model. But that's fine because luckily in PowerView what I can do is I can count any field. I can just simply count the values of any field. So I can say here, add to values. And here we go. Now we've got a count of the number of charts. And you'll see the subtotals there. Up here under totals, you can control whether you have totals turned on or turned off. So I'll leave these on. And then here we have basically a block table. But if I want to create a matrix, I want to create a group on the columns. How I can do that is I can go and say, well, maybe the year that they visited the doctor or the hospital, let's go and drag that in. Now, again, visit year has a sigma icon beside it, which means in scenarios where it could group on the value or it could aggregate the value, it will bias towards aggregating the value. However, I'm going to drag this to columns, and therefore it does not matter. The columns and the rows in the matrix, they always group, whereas the values in the intersection of those two always aggregate. That's what I mean about sometimes we could do one or the other, and we need that model metadata, and sometimes it's defined by the visual and by the axis what we do. So here now I've got the years as well. I could do subtotals on columns as well, or I could do subtotals on both. But I'll turn it back to just for rows. And then it looks like we've got sparse data for all the years before 2008. So we might want to do some filtering here. So to do filtering on a particular data region, you just click on the Show Filters icon, and it will switch you over to the matrix filters. And whatever fields are in the visual already, like we've got region, we've got state, we've got year, they will automatically show up here. And you could just change the values. So I could say visit year and then slide this over to 2008, for example. And then there are different modes of the filter cards. By default, for a numeric field, I'll get this range slider. But if I click this button here, I can switch to the checkbox list mode if you have a small number of numeric values. Or I can even go to this advanced mode where I can specify advanced filter conditions, just, you know, Boolean operations and inequalities and that sort of thing. Now, if I wanted to drag another field in here, I could. Like, for example, I could look at things where they only saw a particular type of doctor, so I could drag in physician specialty and then check, you know, only cardiovascular visits. So that's how you can add your own filters as well. And then you can delete these. If I had dragged that filter to the View tab, by the way, the difference there is that rather than affecting just this one matrix or just this one chart or whatever I was focused on, it would affect the entire sheet. So let's do some more interesting analysis here. What I want to look at is hospital admissions. I want to know, if I were to open another hospital tomorrow, what would be the demographics of people who would come through the front door and be admitted? Specifically, for example, what ages or age groups of people would I see come through the front door? So here, it looks like I have patient age. So I can just click patient age. And then let's go and count up those chart IDs again. We'll count up the visits. And then convert that to a line chart. And there we go. Just with one click, we've got a simple line chart that shows us the trend. So it turns out I'll see a lot of middle-aged people come through the door. And for some reason, there's a quite notable spike at around age 57. So let's add some more dimensions to this. Maybe I want to look at, well, is it different between men and women? So I'll just check gender. And one thing you'll notice is I don't have to necessarily always be explicit about what I'm going to do with the field. I don't have to say, drag this down to the axis or drag this to the legend. Very often I can just click on a field and PowerView will choose the next logical thing to do with that field by default and find somewhere to put it or some way to incorporate it into the visual. So here, it's put that field on the legend and created a series for each gender. And we can see that I'll see more women come through the front door than men. And that spike at age 57 is even larger, and it's only for women, for some reason. Now, what if instead of looking at an additional dimension, I wanted to look at additional measures? So, not only how many visits will I get or how many admissions will I have, but how many times will I diagnose them with something? So I can count up the diagnosis as well. And here you'll see a trend that when they're younger, you'll see this gap between the two. That means that a lot of times they went home without being diagnosed for anything. Whereas when they were older, most visits result in some sort of diagnosis for something. I can add a third measure here. I can add as many as I want. So maybe when they were diagnosed with something, how many of those times were they prescribed medication? So I can sum up or count the number of prescriptions and see that that's a subset of the diagnosis as well. So now we're grouping on age. We're counting three different measures. What if I want to split this along another dimension? What if I want to look at how do these trends vary or remain the same across different regions, maybe different regions of the United States? So here I can go and grab region. But what could this possibly do? Because it seems like all the axes are in use, doesn't it? I have age on the horizontal axis. I've got the vertical axis used for these measures. I've got three different measures and that taking up the use of the legend to differentiate among them. So at this point in traditional Excel, I'd probably be done. I would have to create multiple charts somehow or some other visual. So here, it's going to be maybe your first example of how we're doing modern data visualization, how we're going beyond what you used to be able to do with Excel. So I'll click this, and it does something really cool. It creates what we call small multiples. So you've got a multiple of this chart for each region of the United States. And you can pick out other interesting insights that way. Like you can see like that spike at age 57, which we then found was only for women, we now find is only in the western states of the United States for some reason. So that's some interesting stuff that we found there. Let's create another PowerView report. And this time, let's look at different types of diseases that maybe these people are being diagnosed with. And I've imported this table here called International Classification of Diseases. So let's just click on that and see what we get. And there you can see you're getting some rich data there. You're getting images coming from the model. We'll look at how you do that as well. When you're looking at a list of things like this and you just want to scroll and browse a list, rather than using a table, another option that's a nice visual presentation would be a card. So I switch it to a card, and I get this sort of visual. There are a couple fields that I don't really need here. I'm going to remove them. And here we've got a list of these different types of diseases. So I'm interested in how common some of these things are, because some of these are probably common, some of these are probably rare. So let me count up the number of diagnoses. So I'll just count the IDs for the diagnosis. Now, I have the count technically, but it's not the easiest way for me to compare these different values. So probably at this point, I might want a chart. So let's convert this into a bar chart. With one click, I convert it to a bar chart. And again, I mean, in PowerView, I can convert something into something that looks totally different. You can do quite radical transformations of data visualizations with one click. And we have logic to map the fields from the source to the destination. So maybe I could sort these not alphabetically, but by the frequency of diagnosis and sort of descending and see these most common diagnoses at the top. Now, let's create a little dashboard here. So let's maybe grab different age groups and look at the diagnosis, number of diagnoses for different age groups, and create a simple column chart out of that. And I'll move this down to the bottom here. Then I'll copy and paste this. I want to look at the number of diagnoses along a different dimension. This time I want to look at it not along age group, but maybe by gender. Split it across male and female and drag that in there. And then I mentioned that there are some valid uses of a pie chart. And I think when you're comparing, you know, the contribution of something towards a whole or you're comparing a very small number of values, maybe a couple of values in this case, to see which one is the majority, a pie chart seems like a reasonable choice. So I can convert this to a pie. It's one of the new features that we added. And there you go, you got a simple pie chart. Now, last thing I want to add to this dashboard is maybe a couple of KPIs, a couple of key metrics. I want to look at when I'm interacting with a different age group or a different gender, what is the average blood pressure of that gender? So I can bring in the average, actually two kinds of blood pressure, the upper number and the lower number, systolic and diastolic. So I'll bring in one, I'll bring in the other. But I want to see these as nice big numbers in the corner that kind of catch my eye. One way that I can do that is I can convert that from a table to a card. And then there's this other card style up here called callout. And if I convert it to that, I get these nice big numbers. And there we go. We got a couple of KPIs up there. Now, the magical part about the BI semantic model is that, unlike some other more traditional BI tools, we don't have to hook up any of this stuff. We don't have to configure actions when I click on a data point in the chart. All of this stuff, we know how it's interrelated, and it's automatically interactive. So when I click on, for example, this 18 to 34 age group, it's going to cross-highlight the other charts, and you'll notice that the KPI values changed. So, and you'll notice, by the way, the pie chart has an interesting way of highlighting. It highlights by the radius of the pie chart. So whenever we add any new visualization to Power View, we don't just want to add a pie chart. We want to add a pie chart that behaves the way you expect Power View visuals to behave and have all that same cool functionality like cross-highlighting. So I can go through. You can see that there are very few diagnoses for this young age group. But as I go forward through the age groups, some of them become more common. The animation really helps draw your eye to a lot of that. And when I click on 65 or older, I don't know if you notice it, but one that really increased here, you'll see there's one bar that really jumps. And that's this one, which is diseases of the circulatory system. So heart disease and that sort of thing. Another thing I might be curious about are some of these diseases really biased towards, you know, they affect men a lot more than women or vice versa. So I can click on the pie slice for men and see, well, not really. They're all kind of 50-50. Even heart disease is apparently as common in women as it is in men. So these are fairly high-level classifications of the diseases, right? Heart disease is very broad. What does that mean? Does it mean arrhythmia, high blood pressure, heart, you know, deformities? What does that mean? So here's where I can use drill down. It's a really cool feature to drill more into the details. I can take this visual and add not only the description of the classification of disease, but the description of the specific diagnosis for this specific patient, and drag that into the axis as well. So you'll see now, if I zoom in on the axis, I have two fields there, a hierarchy of two fields. Now, you'll notice absolutely nothing happened in the visual because we didn't change the drill down level. But what I can do now, let's pop this out so it's a little bit bigger. See diseases of the circulatory system? If I double click on that, it will drill in. And now we're looking at specific diagnoses in that category. And the ones that you see at the top are all hypertension or types of high blood pressure. And remember, we were still cross-filtered by gender. And you still see that it's pretty much 50-50. So women have high blood pressure just as much as men. So that's interesting. Let's create another PowerView sheet and create some other interesting visuals. So here we're going to look at diseases again. But we're going to look at trends in diagnosis over age for different types of disease. So let me grab those types of diseases again. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to click this button called Tiles. And that will create this tiles container visualization. And I'm going to delete what it left inside here. And whatever I put inside of this container is going to be filtered by this slider at the top. So inside of here, let's create maybe a chart that shows frequency of diagnosis by age. So I'll grab the patient age, grab the gender again, and then we'll count up the number of diagnoses and make a line chart out of that. Now we got a line chart, and now we can just browse different types of diseases. So we can browse, you know, respiratory disease and see what that trend looks like. We can browse diseases of the nervous system and see what that looks like. So we were talking about heart disease earlier, so we could see what that looks like. Again, it's very rare when you're younger, but it's very common when you're older, and it's just as common in women as it is in men. So far, that seems to be the trend that we're finding. Let's create another PowerView sheet. Now here I want to drill into that whole blood pressure thing. So let's look at blood pressure And something that I suspect is correlated with blood pressure, which is weight. So we'll incorporate weight as well, maybe check for correlation among those two, see if we find anything interesting. And let's look at, if I grab the chart, I'm going to grab blood pressure and weight. And then let's group this by something. Let's group this by maybe different states. So I'll click state name. And then I can convert this to a scatter chart. When you want to check for correlation among things, a scatter chart is really a good choice. I have blood pressure increasing from left to right, and I have weight increasing from bottom to top. And you can see that there's a somewhat rough diagonal trend in there. It's not a perfect trend, but there is a definite diagonal trend there, which shows you there's a direct correlation between those two, between blood pressure and weight. If I add another measure here, let's add maybe just the number of charts. I'll count that up. I'll add it to my size field. That, when you add an additional measure to use as the size of a bubble, you can create a bubble chart. And that can help us look at the visual correlation a little bit better. Now, I don't want to look at this by state. Maybe I want to look at this by another group. Let's look at this by patient gender. Let's compare men and women. So I'll drag this into the details. Now I get a bubble for men and women. And you can see that, again, men tend to have higher blood pressure than women, which is kind of contradicting the trend that I found earlier, because we said that women were diagnosed with high blood pressure just as much as men. So one other thing that we could look at is maybe age. If I take age, I could do something really cool with this, which is I can drag this down to play axis, and I can now animate this bubble chart over the age of kind of the composite average patient, if you will. So we can see, like, as patients age, how does their blood pressure and weight change over that lifespan? Now, you might notice this thing up above here that says showing representative sample. This is a common question with PowerView. Sometimes you'll see these. Remember I said any sort of axis or anything in PowerView will do one of two things. We'll try and segment the data and page in more as you scroll or something. Or in cases where we don't support that, we will limit it to a certain value for performance reasons. Here we're doing limiting. There are actually two types of limiting. Sometimes when we limit, like in for example, the columns in a matrix, or the number of items that you can have in the legend in a chart, we just have to basically cut it off at some point. We just have to basically truncate it. We're doing a top N. We're doing a top 100 or top 60 or whatever. In other cases, where we have kind of a continuous range of data, imagine a continuous scale, like age 18 to age 90. It's a continuous scale, and there's some trend over that sequence. We can actually grab a representative sample that represents that entire range. There'll be little frames missing from that, but you'll still see the shape of the data and the general trend. So that's what we're doing here. We're grabbing a representative sample. The reason in this particular case is for the play axis, we have a limit of 60 frames, and I have more than 60 ages. If I were to filter this, I would go into chart and I would look at age. Maybe I would look at people older than 40, for example. You would see that warning go away, because now between 40 and 90, I have less than 60 frames. However, that's just to give you an idea of why this is happening and how it works. There's no need for me to filter that down in this case, because I'm not getting truncation. I'm getting nice representative sampling. I'm still going to see the trend over the entire range of the data, which is what I want to see. So if I play this back at age 19, you can see the age in the upper right corner there. Hopefully it shows on the projector. That'll start ticking away as I play the animation and our patients are getting older. You can see that because men are further right than women, they have higher blood pressure than women. So I'm looking for the explanation of why women have this equally high rate of being diagnosed with high blood pressure. So what I can do is I can play this, and you'll see the age ticking away. And as they get older, things are moving to the right, things are moving up, people are getting heavier, and they're getting high blood pressure. I can click on these things, on these bubbles, and show the trace of where they've been so far and how they've changed. And we can play that out. And let's see if it gives us me the answer to my question. It is kind of giving me the answer to my question, because if you notice what's happening, they're both increasing in terms of blood pressure, but women are increasing faster, and they're catching up to men, looking from left to right. And you'll see that as they get into their 70s, they will actually surpass men and have higher blood pressure than men. So that explains the high rate of diagnosis when they're older. So that can be a really cool visualization. Whenever you're looking at a trend over time, or a trend in this case over a patient's age, it can be a really effective way of BI storytelling, essentially. Let's create one more PowerView sheet. And what I'm going to look at here is I'm going to look at health by region. And I'm going to go back to my location hierarchy, and let's add that. And I'll make it a matrix. And I'm looking at regions and divisions, but I actually only want region level. And then I'm going to break it down in kind of an ad hoc hierarchy here. I want to add another level of grouping. My next one will actually be age group. So we'll look at region, and then we'll look at age group. And now the measure that I want in here is I want to look at blood pressure across these different regions. So I'll add in the blood pressure. So we have the different blood pressure for different regions and different age groups. But I have a KPI tied to this that tells me what is a normal blood pressure, what is a good blood pressure range. So I can pull in the status here for the KPI and see an indicator that tells me whether these things are good or bad. And in the United States, they're not very good, as you can see. It's mostly yellow and mostly red. But the other thing you'll notice is that whenever I have a calculated field or a measure or KPI or something and I add that, you'll get this blank group. In case the measure has any value of that calculation for blank or other or things that don't have any region or things that don't have any age group, it will show those. If I want to filter those out, I can. I can go to show filters. I can go to the age group and say show all except blank. So I'll uncheck the blank. You can see what I did there? I unchecked the blank. And now you'll only get the actual regions. Oh, sorry, I did it on the wrong one. I wanted to do it on region. There we go. So now we only get the actual regions. For me, in my particular case, the calculated fields don't return any meaningful result for blank. Now, since we're talking about different regions, what we might want to do is we might want to look at this in a way that's more suited to geospatial visualization. So I can choose state name and maybe count up the number of admissions by state. So I'll count that up. Now, this is the only data that this is going to work on. It is state name and the count of chart, the number of admissions. I don't have any other latitude or longitude fields. I don't have an address field. I have nothing. I just have state name. All I have to do is I have to go up here to map. And it is going to create a big map that, for some reason, is not getting me my map tiles. Did I lose my Wi-Fi connection here or what? Looks like I might have lost my Wi-Fi connection. But there is a Bing map. It would be showing a map background from Bing. And then one cool thing I can do, you can sort of see the outline of the United States there, hopefully. And then what I can do is I can incorporate an additional field. I can incorporate gender and drag it to color. And then what it's going to do is something cool. We'll actually change each bubble into a pie chart that shows the breakdown between men and women. So that's kind of a whirlwind tour of PowerView inside of Excel Desktop. What I wanted to show you was PowerView inside of Excel Web App. I'm not going to be able to interact with this because my connection seems to have dropped. But there you can see the report that I loaded previously. I simply took that workbook, saved it in SharePoint, and then when users click on it in SharePoint, this is what they're going to see. And they would be able to do all the same highlighting and filtering and sorting within the browser. Now, you have a couple of options. If you have SharePoint on-premise, you can upload it to SharePoint on-premise and use it in Excel services. In my case, this is Office 365. I uploaded it to SharePoint Online, and that's what you're seeing here. Okay? So I have a few minutes left. What I wanted to show you was how I did some of those configurations inside the model. So here, for example, I've pulled in a bunch of different fields. One of the most common things that you want to do is you want to create relationships among different types of fields. So for example, I've pulled in some tables from my data set from Windows Azure, from our medical research partner, and some other ones that I just grabbed off Wikipedia. There are no inherent relationships between those two. But for example, I had a state table that I pulled in from Wikipedia with state names, and then I've got my patient table that I pulled in from the marketplace where I've got a state field as well with the state code. So what I did here was create a relationship. And just right-click, say create relationship, and the typical dialog that you would expect that lets me correlate the primary key with the foreign key. Another thing you might want to do is you might want to hide some things from client tools. So for example, here I have this field that I'm just using for some intermediate calculations. What I've done is I've right-clicked on this and said hide from client tools. In this case, I've already hidden it, so I could unhide it. But because I've hidden it, that does not show up in the field list in PowerView. You can hide entire tables as well. You can also set descriptions on these. So for example, for chart, I right-click and I can say description, and then you'll see the description that I entered where I described what the meaning of that table is and what sort of data it contains. Another thing that you'll very often want to do is you want to do calculated columns. So here, for example, anything with this darker shade of gray is a calculated column. I only had the patient's year of birth, and I wanted their age in a lot of these visualizations, so I created an approximate age calculation based on that. It's just a DAX calculation, which is basically an extension of Excel formulas, and you can just create them in the formula bar here, and that's how you create them. There was a session earlier in the conference about DAX. It's already passed, but you can go and check out Channel 9 later, and there's a whole deep dive into DAX and the language and all the cool things you can do with it. So another very important thing, if I go over to chart, this froze up on me a little bit. There we go. If I go over to some of these columns, like blood pressure, for example, I mentioned that you don't want to sum these things up. It doesn't make any sense. You want to average them by default. So where you can set that is if you go to this advanced tab, and then you say summarize by, and you have all the different options, sum, average, whatever. In this case, I've chosen average. And then to do calculated fields, you can simply do something like take this field over here and go to calculations, and you can do sum, average, or whatever. You can do your own custom calculations. In this case, a really quick way of creating one would be to say, just choose the average. And down below in this calculations area, it's added a calculation for me. It gave it a name, it gave it a formula. And then when you have a calculation, on top of that, you can create a KPI. So I'll simply create a KPI. And then it gives me this dialog where I can say, you know, the target for this would be, you know, 120 is a good blood pressure maybe. And then I can set different thresholds for red, yellow, and green. And then you'll see those indicators in PowerView. And finally, some of the advanced behavior that I showed. If you look at default field set for a table, you can drag from the left to the right that subset of fields that you want to show by default when somebody just clicks on the table and doesn't indicate which fields they want to show. And then over in table behavior, you have the ability to select a primary key or a row identifier for your table, and then choose those other fields that will group on the details, that will group on the key. Anything checked here will group on the key. And then you have the option to choose what they call a default label and a default image. If I go back to my PowerView sheet here, let's give this a sec. This PowerView sheet, if you'll notice for this tile, what's added here in the tile by field is only the image. And yet somehow it knows in the slider for this tile to display a caption along with that image. How does it know which field to show as the text along with that image? The way it knows is in that table behavior, if I have a default label set, then whenever I include the image in a tile, it will show that default label. Also in a card, it will show that default label nice along the top of the card. If it's a default image, it will show that, it will tend to show that, you know, larger within the card. So it influences some of the default layout that you'll get inside PowerView. And then one last thing that I wanted to show was the images. The way that I showed the way that I included the images, there are two ways. One way is to actually include and to import the binary image data into the model. So it's actually quite simple. All I did here was I had a var binary column in my SQL Server relational database, and I pulled that in as part of my query. And a var binary column in your, or any sort of binary type in your relational database, when it gets imported, becomes a binary column in the model here. Now, the hard part there, obviously, is getting it into your source data in a binary form in the first place. But if you have that already, and there is a way of ways of doing that in SQL, then when you import it here, it's carried forward as a binary column. The other way to do it is here, for example, for my state column. I have some state flags that I found on Wikipedia. I simply put the URL of that state field inside this text field here. And then I can mark this with metadata as an image URL. There are all these different data categories of different types of data and what they mean in terms of, you know, business semantics. And you'll see here that I have image URLs selected. You'll also notice that it says suggested. It will actually detect sometimes the proper data category. So in my case, it detected that it was a URL, and it ended in .jpeg, so it's probably an image. So it chose image URL automatically. In other cases, for example, for the state name here, You'll notice it says state or province suggested. It automatically detected them as the name of United States states. So with that, I'll switch back just to my slides here. That's kind of an overview of PowerView and all the modeling tricks behind there. Just wanted to make a brief statement about the roadmap here and just kind of recap where we've come. In SQL Server 2008 R2, we introduced PowerPivot, but we did not yet have PowerView. We did the modeling and the engine side of it first. And then in SQL Server 2012, we added the enterprise version of those models, these tabular models that you can create as databases outside of Excel workbooks called Analysis Services Tabular Models. And that's also when we introduced PowerView, the first version of PowerView. In Office 2013 and Service Pack 1, that's when we integrated PowerView right into Excel. PowerPivot is also integrated out of the box inside of Excel as well. And then just recently, just a matter of weeks ago, we shipped SQL Server 2012 SP1 Cumulative Update Number 4, which is an update for PowerView Standalone that adds support for PowerView Standalone connecting not only to Analysis Services tabular models, but Analysis Services multidimensional models, or cubes, the sort of classic Analysis Services cubes that many customers have. You can now run PowerView Standalone directly against those. You cannot yet run PowerView in Excel against those, but that's something we hope to add support for in the future as well. So there are also other things that we're working on for PowerView that I'm not able to disclose in the roadmap at this time, but there are other cool things that we're working on that hopefully later in the year we will have some disclosures about. What I want you to take away from this session is Excel is our one self-service client BI app. It's one app for modeling, for analytics, for visualization, for interactivity, for everything. Everything is through Excel. On that note, workbooks are definitely not just spreadsheets anymore. I hope you got that sense from seeing the nice relational models and the nice modern data visualizations that we can create. So do not buy into the myth of Microsoft's BI strategy being about spreadsheets. PowerView is about next-generation visualizations and interactivity. We've already gone beyond Excel with things like the play axis, the animated bubble chart, the small multiples, and we'll continue doing that. Another interesting thing, by the way, is now that we've integrated PowerView and the data model inside of Excel, you can now use that, if it's all self-contained, in a disconnected scenario, whereas you couldn't do that before because you were dependent on SharePoint. Finally, where SharePoint does come into play is when you want to share this, not just personal BI on your desktop, but when you want to share this with your team, where you want to share this with the world, you can publish it to SharePoint on-premise or publish it to SharePoint online. And that's really the recommended means of sharing your data visualizations with other people, and they can interact with it right in the browser. Some related content here. There's a session later today on self-service BI governance. If you want to know from an IT perspective, how do you have oversight onto all this stuff? If it scares you a little, I would recommend going to that session. BI Power Hour is later today. It's just a totally fun session, kind of off the wall. You will learn absolutely nothing. It's just kind of doing zany off-the-wall things with the BI products. There's a session that I believe is right after this one on Data Explorer, which is a cool way of finding data in the first place and getting it into your Excel workbook. So I'd recommend looking at that. And then, like I mentioned, if you're interested in how do you deploy all this stuff and set it up on the server side, come to my session tomorrow on setting up reporting services in SharePoint mode. So with that, I want to wrap it up. I have one request of you, which is that you evaluate the session. Let us know what you thought. We definitely do look at the scores and read all the feedback, read all the comments. So I appreciate as many of you as possible submitting an evaluation. So thank you very much. And we do have a few minutes, so if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take any questions now. And just a final reminder, again, I'll be at the Data Insights booth later and ask the experts tonight, so you can also take your questions there. Any questions now? I'm glad I did such a good job of explaining everything in such perfect clarity. Last call, any questions? Don't be shy. I thought I heard a question. What was the future of Pivot Viewer? So Pivot Viewer was a Silverlight application and that was released. I believe it originally came from Microsoft Research. And it was later released as a sample. It's something that we have considered integrating right into PowerView. It's not something that we've done yet at this point. It's possible that we might do Pivot Viewer-like things in PowerView. But I can't say that we currently have a plan to directly integrate Pivot Viewer inside of PowerView. Another reason would be Pivot Viewer is based on Silverlight, and as is PowerView, but But as you might know, Silverlight does not run on some devices. And now we're kind of working on PowerView, trying to get PowerView working across all devices and all browsers. So you may see some of the functionality show up in PowerView in a different form, but we don't have a current plan to directly integrate Pivot Viewer into PowerView. I believe the sample is still available online as kind of an unsupported, use-at-your-own-risk kind of sample. Any other questions? Okay, well, we got 4 or so more minutes, so while I'm packing up, I'll hang around for a few more minutes, and if anybody wants to come up, feel free. Thank you very much.